You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Chaf Aleph, and we are holding in the middle of the sugya of Ze'iri. Ze'iri's chiddush was that Nishbara Mafreket Verov Basar Ima is an Avela, right? So the obvious problem was, if you're true that every time that you cut through a spinal column, together with the muscle that's around it, you turn the bird or the mammal into a nevela, even though it seems to be alive, what would be the point of doing malika? So yesterday, Rava said that you have to indeed be very careful not to cut rov basar, and that way you're only dealing with a trefa, just like every shrita. You create a trefa in the course of doing your shrita, as you start cutting. And then, when you finish cutting, you've done not an act of trefot, but an act of shrita. So to over here, when you finish cutting, you've done an act of malika, rather than an act of tarfot. Obviously, it's not quite the same, because when it comes to shrita, you're doing the act in the very simen that you created the trefas in, whereas over here, it seems to be an ancillary issue to cut through the spine. And nonetheless, we're viewing that as part of the act of malika, which is sort of problematic, particularly if we hold that it is possible to do malika by being machzor or the siman into the back. So I'm sure we can't say it's really part of the act of malika. Nonetheless, it's an extension, at least it's possible to conceive, that the Torah would have told us to do malika in that fashion. But it is not possible to conceive of doing malika to a dead bird. That makes no sense whatsoever. So Rava said, look, that's the only way out of this. It's got to be below Rav Bus. And indeed, today we continue in Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph, Kisolek Rabbi Zeira, this third line. Kisolek Rabbi Zeira, when Rabbi Zeira went up there, it's Yisrael, Ashkechil Rabami, the Yati Vekama, Allah Shmaitza. He finds Rabami saying this over. And he's mentioning Ze'iri, and he's sort of shocked, and he says, you're telling me that you do malika on a dead bird? Now that definitely put him into a state of shock. Wow. What was I thinking? Then he realized there's only one way out, just like Rava realized. What you have to say is that the mode of the malika is always to be chotek shidro mafreket, but you have to put in the words below rov basar, because otherwise there's no possible way. Tani amiochi, ketzad mokin chatata ov, and indeed we see in a braita. How do you do malika to a chatata ov? You're chotek shidro mafreket below rov basar, you see? And that is the point. So it's here it says it in the braita. Once already we're starting, let's get into the issue. And that is the question of the chatichat ha-simonim that we raised yesterday. How many simonim do you cut in malika? It depends, of course, whether you're dealing with a chatas or an ola. Here we're talking about the chatas ha-ol. So there continues the bright. You continue to cut below rov basar until you get to the veshet or to the kone. You get to the veshet or to the kone. Chotech siman echad. You cut one of them. Oruba. Or most of them. And then, as you cut the siman, you cut the rov basar at that point. And by an oila, you have to cut either shnayim, it seems to be what it's saying, either both simonim, or at least most of both simonim. What? Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. Money. I mean, who is the author of this braita? Because it's nobody we know. If it's the Rabbanan shita is, as we're about to learn, that when you do the malika of an olata of, it has to absolutely be both simonim, shnayim. It can't be rov of shnayim. If it's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon who argues, it has to be rov shnayim and it cannot be shnayim, as we're going to see. You cannot cut through the entirety of two simonim when you're doing the malika on the oila. So something is very funny over here. Well, you're right. It has to be alternatives. In other words, chotek shnayim, meaning l'rabbanan shnayim, or rov shnayim, Shtayim, meaning if you all of Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon, Rav Shtayim, albeit that's not generally the way we talk in a bride. In other words, we would make it a machloket, not say it's an option, cut this or that. But how else are we going to do it? Or there is an alternative. By table, we could learn that actually the whole thing is going according to Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon. When it says to be chotek shnayim, it means, look, cut a really clear-cut rove, so that there's no question that it was rove. Or look, I mean, if you're going to be really down to the wire and cut only rove shnayim, that's also kosher, meaning rove shnayim that only looks like rove shnayim after we measure it carefully. That's kosher, but that's not preferable. But neither way means to literally cut through both simonim. That way the whole thing would be, I'll leave it to Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon. Omer of Yudav HaShmuel, it's not only birds and other mammals that are affected this way to have a din of nevela by a human. Death is not nevelut, death is tumat mate and brings tumat ohel. And that would be exactly the case with a human. If nishbara mafreket Rov Basar Ima. If somebody breaks his neck, and not only breaks the neck, but actually tears through the muscle, then he may look like he's alive, but he's Metame Ba'ol. Any muscle movements are nothing but spontaneous electrical discharges. Ve'im Tomar, Otoma said to Eli, if you're going to ask me, well, how come by Eli it says he fell backwards, broke his neck, and died? And there's no indication that he literally tore through his neck. It just says he broke his bone. It says that was mafreket below basar. So if he broke his neck and yet it says he died, why do you say it has to be rov basar? Oto ma'asei de'eli was mafreket below basar haboy. That's true. But that's because Eli was very old, and therefore the chiyut in him was vulnerable. And in just breaking his spine, he died instantly. And the pasuk, I'm not just saying that, I'm saying the pasuk actually points that out. The Tiv, the description of Eli's death, is that Vayikas Kiroet Aron Elohim, as soon as the messenger mentions that the Ora in Habrit was captured, he falls backwards off of his chair. Ba'ad Yadasha, Vatishaber Mafrakto. Note that it only mentions his spinal column, so that he breaks his neck, Vayomot, and dies. Kizakena ish. That's why. Because he was old, the Kaved, and heavy, that's why he died in this fashion, but not because normally we could use this as a model for breaking a neck that brings instant death. It doesn't. And therefore, it's only in that case that we would say that mafreket without robusters metame. Omer Shubar Nechmeni, Omer of Yochanan. Unfortunately, very applicable Gemaras with the butchers walking around in Brooklyn. So Omer of Yochanan, Karo Kadag Bitame Ba'ol. If you split a human open the way you would split open a fish, cutting him straight down the horizontally, I mean vertically along his length, it would be Metame Ba'ol, even though you didn't break through the entire mafreket robusters. Omer Shubar Yitzchak, this means from the back, like you would a fish, not from the belly like you would a fish. Migabo. Omer Shmuel Asa Agistra Nevela. Not only that, but any time you'd cut straight through an animal, splitting it into two horizontal, or on the horizontal, you'd cut it through, splitting it into two separate pieces, you would always create a Nevela. Omer Ebelezer. Not only that, there's another example of a living Nevela, and that is Nital Hayera. If the bone of the thigh was removed from its place, and not only that, but Chalal Shalad Nikar, it would be noticeable from the outside, and we're going to see what that means in a moment, meaning that you also took all of the muscle off that had been surrounding the thigh bone, so that all that you're left with is a hollow, then that animal is a nevela, and it's metame, even though it may be sitting there chewing its cud. Hechidami chalal shalan nikar, what do you mean by noticeable from the outside? Amarava, it means that if the animal is sitting on its feet, the way it usually does when it goes down to rest, kosher vutsa, and you can still note that something's missing in the rear of the animal, so that the whole thigh up to the buttocks was removed, that is considered to be an avail. We have another Mishnah that actually talks about this. Tanan Hata. Hutizu Roshehem. Now, this is referring to the eight different shrotzim that are metame. Normally, shrotzim are not metame as a nevela. Mammals are metame benevela. Birds are metame benevela. But rodents are not metame benevela, and neither are other life forms. Other than, yeah, obviously, dead. Nothing alive is metame ever except humans. A dead reptile. Yeah. No. Only eight of them. Others don't. So here it's referring to any of the eight. They're not all reptiles, but any of the eight would be metame. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't say, technically speaking, that they're not mammals, because you know, but possibly the relationship to bats is similar. But well, when we get to Shmoneh Shvatzman. So there, Utsa Roshehem, says the first in the Mishnah, if the head is cut off completely, even though the bodies are moving about, there's still metame benevela. Because, look, nobody's going to suggest that a lizard's tail is alive. I mean, it's not an organism. Nonetheless, it continues to move about as if it's an organism. So obviously, it is possible to have body parts that move around, even though they're not alive. And this is gizanavalita'as. They have a lizard tail, which is mefarkeset. So you cannot bring any indications of life just because you're getting readouts, so to speak, on some type of electrical device, which you're looking at because the muscles are responding to those electrical discharges. Doesn't mean anything. My hutizu, when you say if the heads were chopped off, what exactly do you mean? Reish Lakish says it means they're chopped off, two pieces. Rabasi Amar Rabbi Mani, well, it's kavdalat olata of. Now, this is a little bit of an ambiguous statement, because we've already seen that we have a machloket, the Rabban and Rav Elazar Rebbe Shimon, that we discussed yesterday, about whether the olata of, and we just talked about here, what is that considered to be? Is it shnayim or is it rov shnayim? And if he means, and this is what we're asking, Omar le Rebbe Yirmel Rabasi, do you mean when you say kavdalat olata of, do you mean as the Rabbanan said, namely, that you have to cut through both simonim, which for all intents and purposes is chopping off the head. I mean, you're talking about functionally chopping off. I don't care whether you may have some connections in the skin or something. That obviously, that's irrelevant to the question of whether it's alive or not. So do you mean, not to argue, you're just sort of making a simon, that when you say hutsu reshem, and say literally hutsu, you're just explaining that means hutsu functionally, like the Rabbonet said about the Olata Oath? Or are you arguing? Are you saying, Kavdalat Olata Oath, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that in fact it does not require a complete functional disruption, because you still might have a miut simonim that are attached, and nonetheless you're telling it's an avail, in which case you're arguing on the Tanakamu Pogito, you're not making yourself very clear. Omar Le, I mean the latter. I am arguing. I'm not coming to clarify. I'm coming to Upalginan. I am arguing. Igeni Amre, others have a different version in which this was clarified right up front, in which Reish Lakish said Hutsu means literally Hutsu. Rav Asyom Rabbani says, no, it does not mean literally Hutsu. It means Rov, which is, for all intents and purposes, functionally Hutsu. Ki Avdalat Olat Ofer B'Lod Rabbi Shimon, meaning Barov Shnai. Well, we've had an awful lot of references to a machloket that we never saw. So how about just, you know, letting us in to the cognoscenti over here? But what is this Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon that everybody keep talking about? So, yes, you've definitely piqued my interest. What is that machloket? The time. Ve'et ha'sheni ya'aseh ola kamishpat. Now, what we're about to get into is a three-way argument about the basis of the limudim for the interrelationship between the Chatata of and the Olata of. Yes.
Can I ask before we get to that?
Yeah.
What's about when is something available? Would this have any implications on brain death and questions that are being...
These are gross disruption. A disruption that is not measurable by anything that is gross. Generally ignored la law. Yeah, grossly measurable. Well, I can grossly measure the fact that respiration stopped. I can grossly measure the fact that the heart stopped. I cannot grossly measure the fact the brain stopped. So, I mean, this is a question. What? Remember, Dibrat Torah Kelashon Ben Adam is the reality that the Torah is addressed to primitive humanity. It's not addressed to a humanity that is capable of seeing things that you can't see with your eyes. And the Torah never addresses microbes and questions of Hashrut on microbes. They don't exist to primitive humans, therefore they're not part of the Torah scripture. The question of brain functionality has to be measured by some type of gross measurement that could be observable to a primitive human. That's the problem of including in these things elements. That's what we're going to see later on, Agape Trefus. The same thing is true, that medical advances doesn't change the nature of Trefus, because the definition of what is considered to be the trephus was defined in a primitive way and remains that way. So, but we'll talk about that sugya later. So this does not necessarily have any, although certainly, I mean, that's why I was trying to be merame, so that's why I talked about gross measurements of electrical discharge, which is pyrchus. So pyrchus is something that you can see, twitching, you can actually see. Oh, here we would try to bring a riot to life from pyrchus. So the Gemara is saying you can't bring a riot to life from pyrchus because you could have that type of discharge even in a thing that isn't a viable organism. How could it possibly be an indication of life? Right? But that's the opposite direction, right? Okay, so continues now the Gemara into the question of the relationship between three items. We have a chatas ha'of. There's a certain amount of information that's given for each of these. Chatas ha'of, where it says specifically v'lo yavdil. Don't break it into two. The olas ha'of, where we have a very curious piece of information that we're going to see, in which we do the mitzui of the dam after what appears to be the hatara, which is of course impossible. I've already burned the body. We can't do the mitzui, from which we're led to recognize that there must be two completely different pieces. There's the head and there's the body, and they're dealt with separately. And that is something that couldn't be the case of the chatasof, because the chatasof says the first v'lo yavdil. You cannot tear them apart. So that's going to be an interesting interrelationship. And then we have the fact that a chatas ha'ov and an olas ha'ov, the two of them together, come to take the place of a chatas ha'hima in all of the cases where we have a korban olav yored, or korban that's brought bedalut. Why that's true, I've mentioned to you the brilliant insight of the Meshe Chochma. It says that the reason that we always replace a behema chatas with two birds, one which is an ayla and one which is a chatas, is for the simple reason that chatas ha'ov does not have anything put on the mizbeah. The olas ha'ov becomes the emurim of the chatas behema, and the chatas ha'ov becomes the zrikas hadam of the behemoth. So the two of them together equals a chatas behemoth. But in any event, what's curious is that some of the information of the dinim of eilas ha'of is given in terms of the eilas nedava at the beginning of Vayik. Other information is left extremely opaque by saying, and do the other bird kamishpa, the way you should. Great. The way you should. That's exactly what I need to hear. So what does that mean? The way you should. So that we have three separate parshios. We have the dinim of a chatas behema, the din of a chatas ha'of, which is clear, and then the din of an olas ha'of that appears in two different ways, as a nedava and as part of the bringing of a replacement to a chatas behema. So in analyzing those relationships, we find the following, the Tanya. In the parsha of the korban olav yored, which is here referring to shmiat hakol, it says v'et hasheni, and that second bird, which is the ola ta'of, this is called a chova ola ta'of, because it's part of the replacement that I need to do, the Torah's b'chayim need to do, if I cannot afford a chatas behim in special cases, et hasheni yaseh ola kamishpat. Now when you say kamishpat, what do you mean? Says the Tanakhama, well, this bird is coming as a replacement for an animal. So if it's called Kamishpat, it must mean as if it would have been the animal that you're replacing. Therefore, it means Kamishpat Chatat Behema. Does it? Atomer Kamishpat Chatat Behema. I mean, maybe it means Kamishpat of the bird that you just brought. Because, I mean, you're saying the second bird do correctly. So if I just said one bird, which is the Chatas Ha'ov, then maybe the second bird has to be done the way the first bird was done. Doesn't that make more sense? It says it's a reference to the animal that it's taking the place of? So maybe it means Kibishpat Chatas Ha'ov. Ah, you see. But it can't mean that. Why can't it mean that? Because by the other reference, which is the Olat Ha'ov, in the beginning of Vayikra, where we're talking about a Nidvat Olat Ha'ov, not an Olat Chova, there the Torah specifically mentions V'hikrivo HaKohen al HaMizbeach U'malaket Rosho. Now V'hikrivo, which is unnecessary, V'hikrivo is an additional pronoun, it, specifically it, then that means it's saying, look, let's not get confused. The din of an oila is absolutely different than the din of a chata. It's only v'ikrivo. That means that the Torah is telling you, look, you cannot bring an oila sof like a chata sof. So kamishpat can't possibly mean bring the second bird, which is an oila, the way you brought the first bird, which is a chata. Because otherwise the pronoun by the oila of the nadava doesn't make any sense. Therefore, if it's in one case it's telling me, make sure it's not the same, and in the other case it's telling me, well, do it right, then to do it right can't mean to do it right like the same. So to do it right would have to mean like the chatat beima. Therefore, mani mekayem kamishpat, kamishpat chatat beima. Okay, what would that mean if I'm treating a bird chata, ola, like I would a behema chatat? Well, I'll tell you. A chatat beima, first of all, it's ina ba el mina hachulin. Okay, we're going to ask tomorrow, how do we know that about the chatas? But let's take that as a given. A chatas behema, you cannot use money of Meitzer Shein. Furthermore, it has to be brought dafka biyom. And that we learn out from Yom Kippur. Again, later on we're going to discuss the general question of Biyom Tzavoto. We learn it for Biyom Tzavoto. We'll talk about it. But it does say, Biyom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem Binogea to one of the Mekoros of Chatzis, which is the Chatzis of Yom Kippur. And it has to be Biyado HaYimanit, because over there it says, V'lakach HaKohen Midam HaChatat Be'etzva'o. And you remember our famous Gezeirah Shavah of Kohen Etzba from Kohen Etzba that is mentioned by Tzorah. Okay, so we now know that those three things have to also be done to the oila. Can't use money of Meiser Sheni, you cannot bring it during the night, and it's got to be done with the right hand of the coin. Now, what bothers me, and here we come to the crux of the issue, says the Tanakhama, but if we're comparing the Oila Sa'ov to the Chatas Behema, then we've got a problem, because the Chatas Behema is done specifically with Shchita, obviously it's Behema, and Shchita is always done even Barov Shnayim. So you might think, Imala Alan Barov Shnayim, Avkan Barov Shnayim. So then maybe it's not only telling me ancillary halachas yom, yodo yomani, maybe it's also coming to tell me the actual dinim of how to do it. And therefore it's saying, it's the way to do the malik is to cut through Rov Shnayim. No, because Talmud Lomar, this is specifically why when it talks about a ola, although it talks about it there in terms of the olas and nedava, it continues on to say, v'hikrivo ha-kohen al ha-mizbeach, umalak et rosho, v'hitir ha-mizbeach. Now listen to this. Umalak et rosho, v'hitir ha-mizbeach. Cut off the head. Go ahead and bring it on the mizbeach. V'nimtza damo akir ha-mizbeach. And then squish the blood out against the mizbeach. That's a little difficult to do. If I've already burned it, how in the world am I squishing the blood out now that I burned it? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Therefore, what it's coming to tell me is that there are two separate things. We know when it comes to the haktara of the bird, there are two separate mentions of the haktara. So that it says, yes, it just says over here, v'hiktiro, that's true. But after saying this, hiktiro, it says, v'shisa oto b'chnafav. It says, tear it apart along the back where its wings are, v'hiktiro to. Now, does that make sense? You said v'hiktiro before. Malakad rosho v'hiktiro. So obviously there's two v'hiktiros. There's the v'hiktiro on the rosh, and there's the v'hiktiro on the goof after you've torn it apart. Torn it and then burned it. We're talking over here about the oila, not the chata. So the oila, let's not get confused. There's a din of havdola on the head, which we're going to talk about. That's, we're not up to yet. We're about to learn that. There's another din of shisua, which is to rip the body, not the head, to rip the body, not literally into two parts, but to pull apart the back of the bird where the wings are, the way you would a chicken that you're preparing. You have two separate sections. So if you're making a stuffed chicken or whatever, you'll open it up and fill it. So here it's from the back, though, from the top of the wing. So vishisaoto. But that means that we now know that the Rosh is ba'atzmo and the Guf is ba'atzmo when it comes to the Haftarah, which of course explains how it's possible to do a pressing of the blood against Mizbeach after I already did the Haftarah. I must do the Haftarah of the Rosh and the Haftarah of the body after doing the Shisua, which was done after the taking of the blood of the body. Haftarah, Rosh Batzmo, Maguf Batzmo, Af Melika, Rosh Batzmo, Maguf Batzmo. If you're telling me, therefore, that it needs to be in two separate parts, now this is a Havdolah that teaches me that we've got, just like two separate Haftarahs, we've got two separate parts of the bird when I do the Malika. But if that's the case, I can't learn it out from a chata, because a chata is behema, I don't have two separate parts. And therefore, it all adds up to tell me that the only thing kabishpat could mean is chulin yom and yodo yomanit, and not the fact that it's supposed to remain connected and be kosher with only rope. That's the Tanakama, and that's what we keep referring to back in the Das of the Tanakama when we say, do you mean the Tanakama? Then it's Dafka Kulay, not Rubai. That's here. I know it's not Rubai from the comparison to the Malika, and Malika to the Haktar. Rabbi Yishmael says, now hold on. When it says Kimishpat, does it make more sense to say that it's Kimishpat, what we were just talking about? We just had a Chatas Ha'ov. I say it means Kimishpat Chatas Ha'ov. And, you know, you guys have forgotten something rather important. How do you know that you're supposed to cut this bird from the neck? It doesn't say it anywhere by the Eila Sa'ov. It only said it by the Chatas Ha'ov. So what makes you think that Malakat Rosho means to cut through the back of its neck? Therefore, the Torah is comparing it. Do the same crazy thing that you did to the first bird, meaning a Malika, where there I mentioned Mimul Arpo, Biguf Shokoin. Do that, Kamishpat. That makes the most sense, doesn't it? We're talking about two birds, and you never told me what the din is of the Malika on one of them. When the Torah says to do it the way you did the other bird, I mean, that's the first thing that suggests itself. So do the Malika the way you did the Malika on the Chatas Ha'ov. Ma Chatata of Mimula Oref, Av Olata of Mimula Oref. Then we run into the same question. So then you'll say, but over there the Torah says, Veloi Avdil, which means you do not cut through both simanim. Don't make that head functionally separate from the body. Therefore, I would say, okay, so it's telling me do the same thing to the Olata of that I did to the Chatata of. And therefore, imbala hala bolek ve'inum avdil b'simen echad. You say, all right, so then it's telling me, just like by the chatata, if I do a malika without Abdullah, namely, I only cut through one simen, afkan molek ve'inum avdil, meaning b'simen echad, which is very similar to the question that we asked if we were learning it from the chatas, you see, except that when we're learning from the chatas behema, our question was whether you could do rov of the siman. Here our question is, should you do only one siman? Because you're learning out from Chatas Ha'of, where you're not allowed to cut both siman. So you might think that's the case of an Olas Ha'of. No. Talmud Lomar V'Hikri Vo. Therefore, getting back to the original description of the Haktarah of an Olas Ha'of, where over there the Torah says, don't do it the way you do a Chatas. Okay, so now we have Chatas Ha'ov. So now we have a balance. One pasuk is telling me, do it the same way. The other pasuk is telling me, don't do it the same way. So what do I understand to be the issue? Well, Malika is the issue. That's the thing they have in common. So I now know to do a Malika. Havdalah is something that they don't have in common, and therefore it makes most sense to learn that what it's talking about is the lo yavdil of the chatas does not apply to the oila, which is v'ikrivo, and therefore kein yavdil, and all that's left, therefore, is for me to conclude that I need to cut through both simanim. Since I have no reason at all, according to Rabbi Yishmael, to think that maybe what I should do is cut through all the rov of the simanim, because the only havamina to do that would be to learn it out of chatas habehima, which he didn't even consider. So in terms of what you do for the Maisa Malika, he agrees with the Rabbanan, says Rashi. We'll go in more into this tomorrow. But he agrees with the Rabbanan, says Rashi, who would say that you need to do Shnayim, not Rov Shnayim. Where would he get Rov Shnayim from? So we have two shitot, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yishmael, who hold that you need to do a Malika with two full simoni on an Ola. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not true. It is true, I agree with Rabbi Yishmael, that Kemishpat is most reasonably understood as Kemishpat Chatata Oath. But here's what it means. Just like the Chatata Oath, by definition, I need to be holding both the head and the body at the same time. Because the Torah said I can't separate them. V'lo yavdil, if I can't separate them, how do I get away with holding only the head or only the guf? So just like by the chatat, I need to hold the head and the body and then do hazoya. The same thing would be true with an ola. Afkan ochez barosh ubaguf. You've got to be holding the body and the head and do the hazoya. What are you talking about? I mean, you're supposed to hold the body and the head in your hands in time? No, I don't mean that. Obviously, we see that they're two separate acts. What I'm saying is, ma'al halan kishu achuz arosh beguf. Look, all I'm pointing out is that by the chatas, there is no way that they're not attached to each other. So even if you're holding the head separately, the body's going to come along. Or if you're holding a body, the head's going to come along. I'm saying that that's the case of the ola as well. Therefore, it's specifically telling you, you cannot separate them. And therefore, mal halan kishu achuz arosh beguf bazeh, not ochez barosh, but kishu achuz, meaning passively. When you pick up one, you've picked up the other because you haven't been able to separate them. Afkan by the oila, kishu achuz arosh beguf bazeh, so you'll say, aha! So then you're telling me, in other words, the lo yavdil that appeared by chatas is meant to apply to the ola? No, because it says vihikrivo, which I also agree to. That vihikrivo tells me, do not separate it completely, but do not get away with only one, because now we have a contradiction. The one hand you're telling me, it can't be separated. It has to be kemishpat chatata of. No, but yavdil. How can you be yavdil and at the same time be achuz arosh beguf? Only one solution, says Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. You must not cut the entirety of both simani, but you must cut both simani when you're doing the malika, so that we've reached a compromise solution. There is no din of lo yavdil by an oila. On the contrary, ken yavdil, v'hikrivo. But there is no din of complete separation either. And therefore the Rabbanan who said, make a functional separation, are wrong. This is the machlok. Because Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon is saying, you cannot cut through both simanim b'malika. You can only cut rov above simanim, because otherwise you're violating the comparison to kemishpat of the chatas ha'of. On the other hand, had you cut through the entirety, had you cut through only one, so then you would be violating the vehikrivo. So we have no choice but to conclude that malika is shnayim, but only barov shnayim, which is what we said on Amud Aleph. Kisolik Rabbi Zera Ashkel Rabami Diyati Vekamel Alash Maitata of Ziri, that Rov Basar makes a mafreket break into a nevela. Or male, what? Vechimetao medu malek? Eshtomim kisho achada. And then he figured out, whew, amale, ima kako se, chotek shidro mafreket below Rov Basar. Tanya meyachi, ketsad boki chatatov. Chotek shidro mafreket below rov basar shabagi leveshet o lekaneh. Higi leveshet o lekaneh, chotek simen echad o rubo. And then he does rov basar ima. Or by the ola he's chotek shnayim o rov shnayim. But what is this shnayim o rov shnayim? It's not an option. Money. I mean, either it's rabbanan, so then it's shnayim, dafka. If it's Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, he says you're not allowed to do shnayim, because then you're violating the comparison to the chatas. So Amar Rov Shnayim. You're right. This has to be understood. Shneim l'rabbanan lo shneim l'Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Or I could say by Teimahava Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. When it says shneim, it means a really clear cut rov that's domin l'shneim. And when it says rov shneim, it means a very exact rov shneim. Omer Rav Yoram bar Shmuel, nishpura mafreket and a human with rov basar ima mitame bi ohel. If you'll ask me, well, Eli died without rov basar, he just broke his neck. That's because he was old and zikna shining. And the Torah says this. Not along his belly, the way you would cut a fish. Nitala yerech v'chalal shela nikar nevela echidah v'chalal shela nikar. Amarava, when the animal's revutsa, and it still looks like it's chaser. Tanata. By the shmonish ratzim, shu'tzuro she'em, apa pishu mefarchesim tameim, because this is no different. Pirchus doesn't mean anything. There's a navala ta'az befarcheset, and it's not even a viable organism. When you say who to zoo, but what do you mean? Rish Lakish Amar to zoo, literally. Ravasi Amar Rav Mani, it means like Abdalat Olat Oath. Omle Rabbi Yirmiyah, is that a clarification? That when it says who to zoo, mamash, all Rish Lakish means to say is functionally who to zoo, mamash, has nothing to do with whether literally it's in two separate pieces? Or are you arguing? Abdalat Olat Oath, the Rabbanim, a low pagito? No, I disagree. It's Kavdalato Lato of the Rabbelezer Rav Shimon. I'm piling. Economate that actually this was included in the initial discussion in this version. Rav Shimon Melakishim Rutsuma Bash, and Rav Asiyam Ramani says, no, that's not necessary. It's Kavdalato Lato of the Rabbelezer Rav Shimon that achieves the same thing, basically. Barov Shnai. My rabbanu and my rabbi is Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, Veta Sheni, referring to the Oila, that is linked to the Chatas in a case of Oila V'Yered. So Veta Sheni, Yaseh Ola Kamishpat. And what does doing it right mean? It means Kamishpat Chatat Beim Haklim the Rutana Kama. Ataomer Kamishpat Chatat Beim Ha. It's more reasonable to say Kamishpat Chatat Of, isn't it? No. In the case of the Olata of coming b'nedava, clearly the Torah was mechalek ben chatat of la Olata of. So how can it say, kimishpat, is that it's supposed to be similar to chatas of, if it says beferish to keep it dissimilar? Hamani mekeim kimishpat, must be in kimishpat chatat beima. Just like a chatat beima is ein haba'a, elamen achulen uvyom uvyada yemanit,
now you'll say, all right, well, why don't we carry it all the way to the logical conclusion and say if you're comparing it to a chatat beima, so then malahalam barov shnaim, afkan barov shnaim, and that would be enough. Ah, that's not enough. Because Talmud Lomar, back once again, in the case of the olata of, so now the Malak v'iktir tells me it's got to be the same way, just like the Haktorah, you have Rosh Ba'atzma v'Guf Ba'atzma. The Malika also needs to be a Rosh Ba'atzma v'Guf Ba'atzma. Rabbi Yishmol Omer Kamishpat means Kamishpat Chatata Of, nothing to do with the animal, its place it's taking. Just like the Chatata Of is Mimul Oref, you know, you have no way of knowing that yourselves. It never said it by an oila. So just like the chatat of is bimulorev, avolat of bimulorev. Now, you'll say, but if that's the case, let's keep it the same. And malahalam molek veno mavdil, because the Torah says beferish v'lo yavdil, meaning b'siman echad. Afkan molek veno mavdil, meaning b'siman echad. No, that's the point of the ikrivo. Keep it different. If you keep it different, then it's got to be telling you, do a malika, mimul oref, but this time, be molek bosimani. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kamishpat, I agree with you, it means kamishpat chatata of, but not in terms that you're saying. It's to teach me that just like the chatata of, you gotta be holding the head and the body in the same hand, Umazav kano ches barosh beguf umazav. Who ever heard of such a thing? Michael, what is he talking about? No, achi koma. Mal amakishu achuz arosh beguf umazav. Just like over there, at the time of the hazayah, the head and the body are connected by definition because of the lo yavdil. Af kan by the oil akishu achuz arosh beguf umazav. You've got no choice. It's always, one is always going to bring the other one along. Imal alam b'siman echad, so does that mean an oila is also b'siman echad? No! Talmud lomar v'hikrivo, back in the din of olat nedava. Therefore, it's coming to teach me, you do need two simanim, but they can't be entirely two simanim. It still has to be connected, and therefore, you're only going to be yotze if you do rov of the two simanim. You won't be yotze if you do all, and you won't be yotze if you only do one. Therefore, we have Yoram Bachlogos, Rebbe Elazar, and the Tanakama. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
For a week we couldn't add a couple of days to the perfect time. Here we are on a wonderful Arab Shabbos Kadesh, and we're up to that Daf Aleph Amud Aleph. We were learning yesterday Ze'iri's halacha, that according to Ze'iri, if you cut through the spine and rov abasar, it's not a trefa, it is a nevela even if it's alive. And it's mamish matani ba'oil as if it's already dead. And we had a problem, if that's the case, how do we explain an act of malika as involving simonim, where it's basically dead meat? Doesn't make any sense. And therefore we were forced to conclude, as Rava concluded, that the Maisa HaMalika specifically has to avoid Chatichas Rov Basar, because if it would also be Mechatich Rov Basar, indeed it would have destroyed the whole point of the Malika. It would be like saying that since the Shechit, you're doing Shechit anyway, while I'm at it, I should kill it. I mean, that's not the point. You make it a Trefa in the course of Shechit, you make it a Trefa in the course of Malika, but that's the Maisa that ultimately is the thing that is Naito Nishmasa. I'm not saying anything. If you're Naito Nishmasa before the Shrita, then there's no point doing Shrita. Before Malika, there's no point in the Malika. So Mitzad HaSvara, he came out with a new definition of the act of Malika. As we pointed out yesterday, it's rather astonishing that the Perek Mamish comes to conclude with Dinam of Malika, exactly as we saw in the opening, that actually Kutchim, the relationship of Kutchim and Chulin, that whole segue is part of the nature of despair. And in fact, says the Gemara today, that we find other makaris for Rava, because when Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he saw the Rabbi Zera on the third line, Ashkech il Rabani, he found Rabani who was saying over Ziri's Svara, that a mafrekes with Rav Basar is considered to be a nevela. And he asked him, Rabbi Zera asked him, according to Ze'iri, how do you explain Malika? And this, I mean, Rabbi Ami was blown away by that question. We use that as a pasuk, but it means I sat in shock for an hour, for a moment. So we use it when somebody's totally blown away by something. It just never occurred to him. That seems to make a joke of the whole Malika process. Then he realized, oh my way, oh, you're going to have to say that the Maisa HaMalika, Ema, Kaku Osev, the only way to do Malika is to be Chotech Shidro Mafrekes below Rov Basar. And in fact, we found a Braisa that says exactly that. We arrived at a Mitzad HaSvara. But Tanya Nami Hafi, Ketzad Mokim Chatat HaOv, Chotech Shidro Mafrekes below Rov Basar. Ache Magi Aleveshet Olekane, Higi Aleveshet Olekane, Chotek siman echad orubo, and then you get to the rov basar, but not before you cut through the siman. That's chatas. Uba'ola, when you come to be melech and oila sa'ov, it's not enough to be chotek siman echad orubo,
It has to be both simanim or rove both simanim. Now the problem is, normally when you shech the bird, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to say. Ba'ila shnayim, no, I'm saying ba'ila ba'ov, in other words, you say shnayim, I mean, by behemoth, let's say we have to shech the bird. So you say shochet shnayim or rove shnayim. The mitzvah of fatchila is to shech the whole thing.
Right.
Rove is enough. The problem is, ba'ila, this is absolutely impossible to say. There's no either rove or all. Because ba'ila, the only reason I have to cut both is because the Torah is mechayev me to be mavdil. Now we'll see that there's a machlokas coming up as to what that avdola consists of, whether it consists of being mavdil the entire siman, or bedavka there's a pasuk that tells you you're not allowed to be mavdil the entire siman. Therefore, you can't go around saying, "Well, either two or both of the two, they're mutually exclusive." It's the Gemara money. Wait a minute. Who's that going according to this statement over here? Ba'ila Shnayim or Rav Shnayim? But if it's going according to Rabbanan, Rabbanan hold the Chiyah the Shnayim, not Rav Shnayim. Because anything that's shayach to the Maisa Amalika is part of the Dinim of Abdullah, as we saw earlier. So you must cut through the entire two. Ikra Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who learns out from the Hekesh of Eila Sa'ov, the Chatas of, as we'll see, that you're not allowed to completely separate the head from the body. So then according to him, Ha'im Rov Shnayim, Dr. Rov Shnayim. True. But that didn't mean two or most of two. It meant, depending according to you who you hold, it's two or most of two. In other words, either Shnayim, if you hold a Rabbanim, or Rov Shnayim, according to Rov Shnayim. It's not offering options. It's saying, depending on the sheeti, the two, or rope two, that's what it means. Well, you know what? It could be by saying, or even according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, who says you're not allowed to cut the entire simen, is made that there's a din still of a lechatchila and a b'diavad. Because the lechatchila, in fact, would be rove mitzuntzam, exactly a rove. But we don't want you to be in a matzah, exactly a rove. It's better, it should be near lay nine, very clear. You shouldn't come to Pasalit. Therefore, it means Shnayim. Rove Shnayim is literally Rove, and Shnayim doesn't mean literally Shnayim. It means Shnayim, meaning Shadamim the Shnayim, that it's obviously that I cut both Simoni. Omer Yudam Mishmul, now this was in a completely different sugya. Until now, we've been talking about the Din of the Vela. Now, it happens to me we have a similar sugya like I've been to Tumas Meis by an Odom, in which Rabbi Yehuda quoted Shmuel as saying that if a human being was Nishbra Mafreket Virov Basari Mametamebeo, a person who broke his neck, not only severing the spine, but also ripping off rove of the muscles of the neck, is dead, even though he's alive. And he's immediately Mametamebeo. If you'll ask me, now wait a minute, Eli HaKohen, it says, broke his neck and died instantaneously, because it says, that was the instant of death. Otherwise, there's no point in saying it that way. So over there, I mean, why would he have torn the bus? He fell off the chair, he's old, and broke his neck. I mean, there's nothing, it wasn't such a dramatic trauma that it would have torn the actual muscles of his neck. So over there, it must have just been mafreket below Rov Basar. Nonetheless, the Torah has considered him to be instantaneously dead, so maybe you don't need Rov Basar. No. Zikna Shaini. That was a specific case, if you'll notice. The Pusik even explains that the only reason that he's called dead is because he was so old, and therefore his hold on life was less. Meaning that it happened to be that in that case, he did die instantaneously. But it's not coming to tell, on the contrary, for the Pusik, the Mashmaut is, that normally that would not have been called instantaneous death. Because if you look at the Pusik, it says, Vayikas tirot aron elohim, vayipol mi'ala kiseya choranit va'ad yad hashar, Vatishaber mafrakto vayamot, kizakena ish. What do I need to kizakena ish mikave? But that's the point. It's telling you, even though your time is shaloka halacha, so the Navi wants you to know. But it happens to be that in this case, that's what happened.
Amrav Shmuel ben Achbeni, Amrav Yochanan, Karo Kidag Mitamei Bov. You slice a person open like a fish, he would also be Mitamei Ba'ohel. Amrav Shmuel ben Yitzchak Umigabo. This means if you slice a person open along his spine, he is dead. Omar Shmuel, Asa'a Gistra Nevela, getting back to the din of behemoths. So now, if you cut the body into two, this is talking about now not horizontally, as it was in the previous case, along the spine, but you cut through the spine at any point. In other words, even if you would cut through the spine in the middle of the body, and it's basically all the way through, it's not just the spine, if you cut all the way through the internal organs till the halal haguf, so that's called the gistra, that is also an avail, it's not only the neck. Nital hayerech v'chalal shala nevela is also a halacha, again, only the gabi behema. Normally we have a din that if the leg is broken from beyond a certain point, as we'll see later, or removed, fine, the animal is considered to be a treif. We're talking about a hind leg. The animal is considered to be a treif. It's certainly not considered to be the vela, to go on living, according to some forever, according to some for 12 months, as we'll see. But here, if you also remove the muscles along with the bone, meaning the upper level of muscles, not just the tissue that was attached to the bone, so then it's considered to be an avela. And we may say halal shala, that you remove the halal, which is strange, you remove space, which accounts for the other gears of you, which is halal shala nikar, and then you can see the space. But I mean, well, the pash is what it means, that if you remove that which fills the area that is called usually the thigh. And what do we mean by that? Hechidami, Amar Rava Kosher Vutsa. Normally when an animal lies, it puts its thigh under its body, and it's sort of covered. So you can't really see very much. You see the edges of the muscles. Over here, I see the animal is lying and something's missing. I mean, I don't see what's missing, but she's over on a very strange slant. So there, it's near its chasera, even when she's revutsa, then you've already removed enough to consider her to be an avela. So it is possible to have a live animal that is the tamei b'masa. Tanan hasa. Hutsu roshehem. Now it's interesting. There's a question what the reference is to over here. Rashi learns the Mishnah that is being referred to in Tanan hasa is the Mishnah in Shmoneh Shratzim. Talking about Shmoneh Shratzim in Tyrus. Tosfos argues, and he says that this is talking about in Meseches Olos. It's a reference to Behemah Chayav Oath, not to Shratzim. But the idea is basically, as I said, we'll see why. I mean, it's clear why Rashi sees the comparison that's about to come as a reference to Shratzim. But we'll see why that's not necessarily true. So, Hutzur Hashem Shemefarchasim Tamein, even though the animals continue to twitch, that is meaningless because that's just Kizanav Alita'ah. Look, I mean, if a Lita'ah drops, a lizard drops its tail, the tail continues to move. Nonetheless, we see that as a completely chemical reaction without clearly having any organic wholeness. So in other words, the necessity of an organic wholeness is part of our definition of life. We don't define life by local chemical reactions in a particular cell. The meaning of a live organism is an organism. Therefore, no one would claim that a living tail is alive. Although it has certain elements of life in it, it's still moving, the chemicals are still working, muscles are still contracting, and so on. That is not defined as alive. Now, therefore, the same thing is true, says the Mishnah, about an organism which is severed to the extent of where you have over here, hutsuroshayim, you've cut off a head. You don't have a live organism. It doesn't matter whether it still exhibits local chemical reactions that are called alive. Therefore, it's a very important nakuda that the Mishnah is bringing out. You cannot bring a raya to life from the existence of ongoing chemical activity.
Is this
No, the idea is the same. We saw before, Gistra on any level would create a non-organism. It's just it's no longer an organism. So even though it has signs of life, the brain is still functioning and so on, it's not a living organism, and therefore is considered to be dead. So you can have a person who's talking to you who is dead, essentially is what it's saying. And it's going to be Matame the Oil.
There's some living organization that can talk to you. It's an extremity, and it's not a...
No, of course it would have to. That's the saying. It would have to be something that affects the organic wholeness. That's why I stopped there.
If
the
Gistra can talk to you, then there is some level of wholeness that allows it.
But you see that we say Gistra, certainly Lagabi Behema, if it doesn't say it Lagabi Adam. We may be exaggerating what it's talking about. I understand. I was also pointing out that you could theoretically have a level in which you maintain life.
Right.
In the sense that the person is literally still talking to you.
Different definition.
Yeah. And that's why I think that it's an extremely meaningful mission. It's defining life and death in a way that is very different than what Lagabi Shuma Vatira. Yes? In a very different way than we would normally think.
So it's like the Neshama generated life versus the chemical generated life.
No, I don't know what Neshama is. Organic life versus chemical life. Doesn't require any neshama. It's talking about machines over here, what we call animals. No, this is not dependent on neshima.
You'd have to have a heart and a machine attached to it.
Fine. That's also good. Yeah, but this isn't stopping breathing. This is even stopping breathing. Because you only need to get up to the halala group. Okay. You may stop spontaneous breathing. But you still could be maintaining life, what we would call life. Ravati Omar Rab. No, I'm sorry. I skipped. Let's get back here. So Hutsu Roshei Mafa Pishe Befarches Tzmeim Kizanava Letaashim Befarches. Now, when you say Hutsu, you cut off a head. What does cutting off a head mean? Reish Lakish Hutas. Something like a samurai jab. So Reish Lakish Amahutsu means mamish. It means that you cut through the entire head. Whereas Rav Atzi Amar Rabbi Mani, it means Kavdalat Olat Ha'of. Now they didn't say that together. We don't know that this meant that he's arguing. It may be a different way of expressing the same idea. On Olat Ha'of, he just may want to clarify that what we mean when we say Hutaz is not necessarily Nogea, a flap of skin, and there's maybe a flap of skin that could hold this head onto the body, but it may be enough to disqualify you from the ghostly annual contest and so on, but it's not sufficient to give you a din of being alive, you see. I think that this was part of the deliberations of the question of whether they would allow Sir Humphrey in the competition. So Omar Lei, Rabbi Yirmiyahu or Rabbi Asi, what do you mean when you say Kavdalat Olat Ha'of? Because I can understand that to mean Kavdalat Olat Ha'of L'Rabbanan. No, you're saying complete, cutting all the way through, spine, rov basar, both simanim, there's no veshet, there's no karna that's attached. So basically this thing is detached. Now, the fact that it's still connected with a little bit of muscle and a little bit of skin is meaningless. The Lopalgito, in which case you would not be arguing on Hutaz Mamash, that Reish Lakish said. That is a Hutaz Mamash. You're just making it clear what you mean by Hutaz Mamash. We shouldn't literally think that the head is rolling along the ground somewhere. Oh, Bioma, or do you mean Kavdalat Olat Ha'Oth? But according to Rabbi Rebbe Shimon, meaning that it cannot be detached completely because you don't do kol ha-simanim, you do rove of the tishlayim, as we said before. And then you're arguing, because according to Reish Lakish, you mean it's got to be hutaz mamash, upalgita. Omar Lei, to which Rav Asi answered, no, I mean kavdalat olat ha-oth, the Rebbe Lutz, Rebbe Shimon, upalgina, and I definitely mean to argue. I'm saying you don't need hutaz mamash. You need technically hutaz, cut through the spine, cut through the spinal cord, cut through the muscles, but you don't have to cut entirely the Kana and the Veshet. Rove would be enough. That's all he said to the Nevela. Now, there's another version of this in which we didn't ask him, but he said straight out that's what he meant. Iki di Amrei. The other version was where Shimon Malachi says with Taz Mamash, and in Rabati Amrabi Mani's words were, no, not with Taz Mamash, but rather Kavdalat Olot Aotler Rabalaz Rabbi Shimon Barov Shnai. Now, meanwhile, we've been assuming that everybody knows about this halacha between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, but actually, maybe it would be worthwhile to bring it out a little bit as something of a tangent. My Rabbanan and my Rabbi Shimon, can you just explain a little bit when we caught the main point here? The main point is, do you need Rov Shnayim and not Shnayim, or Shnayim Dafka? But just remind us.
Malika.
Yes, for Shkita you don't need Shnayim at all, ever, for a bird. The only time you need to worry about two simonim on a bird is for Malika, and then only for an Ola. The time. Now here is where the entire issue comes from. What happens is that when you're talking about the carbon oil of the yerid, we have an interesting situation in which a bird takes the place of a behemoth, right? So if you can afford it, you bring a behemoth. If you can't afford it, you bring a bird instead. Now, the Torah does define what to do about the chatas ha'ov. And that's where it says, umalak, mul, and that's where we learn out, mul or po. And there we learn out what it means. It was on the previous Mishnah. That's the definition of malikim mul or po. Problem is, it doesn't say what to do about the ola. All it says is, ve'et ha'sheni, yaseh ola kamishpat. Do it right. That's not very helpful, to do it right. Except that in the context, do it right seems on the surface to refer to what we just described, a chatas ha'ov, and I told you exactly what to do. Cut through with a malika below yavdil, just don't cut it off completely. And the second one should be done kamishpat. So I could learn that means kamishpat of what I just said, and I don't want to bother repeating myself. Or I could learn, being that this ola is taking the place now of the chatas, behema, maybe we should treat it like the chatas behema, which is what we just discussed above. So this is very interesting. I don't know exactly how to understand it. Therefore, says the Rebbe, the Brisa, begins like this. Says, Hasheni yase ola kamishpat. This means kimishpat chatat behema. Treat it the way you would have treated a chatas behema. How do I know that doesn't mean, maybe it means, treat it the way I just learned the dinam alika by chatas of, where it says, bimul or po v'lo yavdil. Now give it all of those dinam, cut through one simon, bimul or po. How do you know it means kachatas behema? No. A chatas ha'of and an olas ha'of are innately different because the Torah says specifically, v'hikrivo. The thing is, by an olas ha'of, not true, this olas ha'of is talking about an olas ha'of of nidava, it says v'hikrivo, but that's the only place that the Torah comes to tell me the din of malika by an olas ha'of. It doesn't say it in the parsha of Karman Olav Yored in the reference to a fear of bringing it as a replacement for a chatas. But in the parsha of Eilas Ofen and Dovah, there it says, v'hikrivo ha-kohen el ha-mizbeach u-malak. That's the first place that it says malika, but it doesn't say mul. Over there, it says a malak at Rosho, without defining what that means. Now, that's telling us two important things. It's telling us that there is a malika of some kind by an Eila, and we'll see that that's significant later on according to other shitas, because maybe the malikot are defined by the word malika. Now, we don't need to learn it out from anything else. Let's leave that aside for a moment. What it does say is, v'hikrivo, which means to be makriv it in a unique way that would not be shared by other ofot that would be brought in the mizbeach. In which case, it's telling us that an olas ha'ov is innately different from a chatas ha'ov. So how could it possibly mean over here to tell me, treat the ola kemishpat ha'chatas? If when you talk about an ola, you say, don't treat it kemishpat ha'chatas. Therefore, I'm forced to conclude that now that halakha katuv, ben chatata of lolata of. It can't mean to compare here to mishpat chatata of. Elamani mekayem ke mishpat. What then could mishpat mean? It must mean ke mishpat chatat behima. That's the point. Now, just like a chatat behima, in a ba'a, ela min akulin, uvayom, uvyado hayemanit. As we saw before, we learned out from a parah chatat asher lo by Aharon, that you can only bring something from chulin. So here too, tzoli min akulin. It has to be bayom, it is beyom sabotov. Now here, by Aaron, it says, Kibayom as a Yechafer Alashem. Later, we're going to ask why we don't learn it out from beyond Sabbath, which is said on all of the Korbanos. And so, too, it has to be done B'yado HaYemanit, because it says, Beferish V'lakach HaKohen Yidav HaKatat Be'etzba'o, and we know wherever it says Kohen Be'etzba, it means Yemin. That, too, therefore, must be true of the Olat Ha'ov. Now, you'll say, now, wait a minute. So in other words, you're telling me that similar to a Chatas Behema, Chatas Behema requires two simanim, and of course that's what you're saying by an Ola. The Ola Sa'of requires two simanim. But if I'm already going to compare it to a Chatas Behema, why not go all the way and say, Ma Kan Baruch Shnayim, and just like by Chatas Behema, two means rove two, doesn't mean a whole two. Av Kander of Shnayim. So therefore, comparing it to Mishpat Chatat Behima by an Ola Sof would mean, yes, two simanim. That I know from Vihikrivo. Don't do it the way you did the Chatas. Don't do it the way I did the Chatas. Chatas says, well, you have to only do one simon. But the Yaila says, not like that. Okay, fine, I'll do two simon. But now, of course, I don't have to do the whole two simanim because I'm learning it from Chatas Behima. Chatas Behima, certainly, there's no din of the whole. Or is it Ruba Shalachat Kamo? By Shechita. So let's say by the Erla to Akan Baruch Shnayim. No. That you can't say, you see. Because Talmud Lomar Umalak Vihiktir. Back again to the Olas Nadava. Remember that we saw by Olas Nadava that it says over there Umalak at Rosh. It doesn't say Nimul or Po. But it does say Umalak at Rosh. And it then says Vihiktir. Umalak at Rosh Vihiktir Amizbecha. Now, just like over there, Ma'al Haktara, Harosh Ba'atzmo, the Haguf Ba'atzmo, we know for a fact that the Haktara has to be separately the Rosh and the Guf. Because even though it says Umalak Vahiktir, it says afterwards, Vishisa Oto Bechnafa Vahiktir. Now, that's insane. You already burned it. How can you say now, after you do, you're going to go down? Do the mitzvah adam after you've already been makriv it, and then v'shisat kanafav v'yiktir. Well, the whole pasuk doesn't make any sense unless they're two separate acts of haktara. One was a rosh, then v'shisat kanafav after you do the mitzvah adam against the mizbech, and then there's a separate v'yiktir, and that would make a lot of sense. But what that would imply is that you've got a separate head and a separate body, and you're going to treat them separately. Since the Torah puts umalak vehiktir together, umalak at Rosh vehiktir, it's telling me that the din of that special haktara, in which you have to have a separate body and a separate head, defines the nature of the malika itself. And therefore the head and the body must be separated at the time of the malika. Now later on we're going to ask, well, man, if it says so, what did I need that vehikri vote to tell me to treat it different than the Chatas? You've already said so. Fine, that the Gemara is going to ask later. But that's an important issue. The lo yavdil, there's two separate havdolas. There's the havdola of the malika, and then there's the havdola, there's a lo yavdil by the Chatas, which also to be mavdil. There it does say Mimul or Po, Velo Yavdil. There's a different act of Havdolah, which is the Shikua, that it doesn't mean tearing the body into two, which should not be confused with the issue of the Malika. We'll talk about this later. But here we're talking about in the act of Malika. So just like Malika Rosh Batsva, by Aksar Rosh Batsva, Aguf Batsva, Ak Malika Rosh Batsva, Aguf Batsva. So now we see clearly the Shita of the Tanakhama, the Shita of the Rabbana, in which the Torah insists rove is not enough. It's got to be completely separated, the same way that the Haktorah will be completely separated. And that was our reference to the Rabbanan that we made earlier, when we said, Ik Rabbanan, How do you say Rav Shneim? It's Shneim Davka. Indeed, it's Shneim Davka. And you can't learn out Rav Shneim from Kemishpat Chatas Behema. Why then does the Torah mention Kemishpat Chatas Behema? Only to tell me, B'yom U'v'yad Ha'ayimah Me'isim Menachulin. That's all, but it wasn't referring us to Chatas Behema to compare Malika Tatsimoni to Shechita Tatsimoni. It's completely different. It wasn't dealing with Simonim there at all. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, no, I disagree. Kemishpat actually means Kemishpat Chatatos. Why do I need that? Because you never told me what Malika consists of by an Ola. All you said was from Malika Prosho by an Olas Nedava. You never told me. You tell me by the Chatas over here, by the Korban Ola Yoret of Shmiat HaKol. You go ahead and you say, Mimulorpo. Malika Prosho, Mimulorpo. Well, I have deal now. What about the Ola? How do I treat that? So it's got to be telling me, Kemishpat, of the dinim that I just defined for you, namely Chatas Ha'ot. Just like Chatas Ha'ot, the word Malika is defined as meaning Mimul Orpo. Av Olato has to be defined now as Mimul Orpo. I, then you'll ask. So Imala Halan Molek Veino Mavdil B'Siman Echad. Av Kan Molek Veino Mavdil B'Siman Echad. So then maybe it's telling me completely to treat the oil the way I would treat the Chatas. Talmud Lomar, Vihikrivo. Therefore, the Torah Bedatta was Mechalek between the Chatas Ha'ot and the Ola Ha'ot. And now I understand that that Chiluk cannot mean that I learn it out entirely. So that means I have no choice but to say that there's a different type of Hakrova, different than the Chatas. And once that's true, so now I understand that the comparison was a comparison of the definition of what a Malika means. Malika means Mimul Orpo. That's when I said over here, even I didn't say, I said a Malika Rosho, I didn't explain what that means. Learn out from a Chatas what that means. What does the word Malika mean? It means to use your finger in the back of the neck of it. Now the question is, what is the Shear, and so on and so forth. Remember, the Shear didn't say the Farish Shnayim. Rav Shneim didn't say anything about that. All it said was, by the Chatas, v'lo yavdil, which I then take to mean, okay, lo yavdil means, don't do more than you would need to do to be makshirit in terms of a shechita. That's all that it means. Okay, so then, if I know I can be makshirit with one simen, anything beyond that is considered to be over on lo yavdil. If it's telling me over here, however, the Vayikrivo says, don't treat the Ola that way. Ah, okay. So how do I treat the Ola? Well, treat the Ola in the way in which you would be Mavdil. That's the point, okay. If that's the case, anything that I could have shechted, I have to shech. Well, yes, but. The but being that we'll see later on, I don't know if it's, could I even get into this now, but we'll see later on a very strange halacha. The act of shechita, in a sense, keeps the animal alive until it's complete, which is a very strange thing. In other words, what would normally be dead, lahalaka, when I shech something, and now I stop shech. Let's say I shech, drop my knife, now you come along and you shoot the animal through the head. Nobody's going to say, okay, but that had to be good. The animal's alive, he shot it through the head, so now it's in the veil. Nobody's going to say that. Okay. I already shacked it. After the shechita. After two shemadim, it's a piece of meat. Go shoot it through the head. Whose business is it? But suppose you shoot it through the head while I'm still shechting. And I already shacked it, Rose. Then we'll see it's not so partial. Because as long as the shechita goes on, the animal's alive. Possibly. So that is an issue that the Gemara takes up later. So let's not get confused by that. So now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, in other words, also he would hold, essentially, he holds that the Rabbanans did. That Havdalah is defined either as an all or nothing kind of thing. Whatever Shayat to Shechita is included now in what I need to do to the Yoyla. The only difference between them is that Rabbi Yishmael does not see the need for learning out the Yom and b'yodo ha'yamani semen ha'chulin from Chatas Behema. Later on, the Gemara will show us where he does learn it from. But does have the need to define what Malika is. and therefore he needs to learn it out from the Eila, from the Chatas Ha'ot. Whereas the Rabbanan, as we'll see later on, learn out the Din of Malika from the word the Malak. They view that as the Hekesh of all Malikas to each other. So, the Malak of Yeretz is here. Malak always means the same thing. I don't need a Limud to tell me what Malak means here by a Hekesh to the Chatas Ha'ot. So therefore, they now say, okay, so make it now a Hekesh to Behema. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael says, how do I know what Malak means? Therefore, it's reasonable to say the Torah is coming to address the nature of what Malak is. So Malak would have to be learned from Chatas. But in terms of what you do, there's no reason to assume that they're arguing on the contrary. The logical conclusion, at least this is how Rashi runs, the logical conclusion would force us to say that Rabbi Yishmael agrees with the Rabbanan in terms of Shnayim or Rav Shnayim. That's not the issue. Where do we get to the issue of Shnayim or Rav Shnayim? Now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon has a whole different approach. He says, Kimishpat, the din of Kimishpat indeed tells me Kimishpat Chatata Of. Let me tell you something. It tells it to me a lot more than you would think. Because just like Mala Alan, Ochez Barosh Ubaguf Umazeh, just like by the Chatata Of, you've got to be, even after Malika, holding on both to a head and to a body. Now that sounds like you've got a head in one hand, a body in the other hand, which doesn't make any sense. The Gemara is going to ask that, no, because you don't. Here too, you've got to be holding to a head and a body. My comment, what the heck is he talking about? Hogi comment, no. He's saying, Mal ala tishu achuz harosh baguf mazeh. Is it not true that the Torah says beferish below yavdil by the malik of the chatas? Oh, okay. So then that means you cannot be holding the head in one hand and the body in the other hand, correct? If you're holding the body, you're holding the head, and vice versa, because lo yavdil. Therefore, it's telling me, akan, there's no way of getting out of the fact that the definition of the mimul orif, which I learned out, as we'll see later on, he learns that also. I'm going to learn that out from Malika. And therefore, when we're talking about Kamishpat, it's got to be telling me Kamishpat the Chatas Ha'olam. It's telling me, what else is it coming to tell me? It's coming to tell me that the din of Lo Yavdil, in fact, does apply to some extent to the Eilam. So you'll say, well, if it applies, maybe it applies all the way. Imara Halam, the sin of Echad, let's say that the Chatas here. Tell me to learn out from Chatas Ha'olam. Okay. So by Chatas Ha'olam, how many Simanim do I share? Only one sin? So then, I mean, Molek. Avkan b'simen ha'chatzah, how many simanim should I be molek by an oila? So, same thing, one simen. Oh, no. You can't say that. Talmud lomar v'hikrivo. It says that the oila is different than the chatzah. So now, what is that difference expressed in? B'mal mitbatet. Must be that the Torah is telling me there is, in fact, a level of lo yavdil, but only a level of lo yavdil. So that means you should go through the Malika of both Simanim, just make sure that they remain attached to the Miut.
The Simanim or the skin?
Simanim. Skin is not part of the discussion here at all, because it's not part of Shvi.
So when does he sever the head?
He doesn't.
But for one of them, you do sever the head.
He argues on that. He's saying, no, you don't. Ultimately, after you finish the Malika and you did Zerika, and then when you get to the pressing, the mitzui, you had separated everything. You did the haktorah separately. But the din of the malika itself, he comes up with a fascinating compromise. It's somewhat lo yavdil, and somewhat yavdil, because of the ikrivo. So therefore, do both simonim, but only do rov of the simonim. This is why we asked before, who did you say, shnayim or rov shnayim? Either it's shnayim or rov shnayim. Because according to Rav Elazar ben Shimon, you don't have the option of doing shnayim. If you do shnayim, you're going to be over on the din of malika, because I'm supposed to be learning it out from the lo yavdil of the chatas ha'ot. So here, as we see now clearly, the two shitas, really only two shitas. The question of the difference between Rabbi Yishmael and the Rabbanan was only a difference in makor, but not a difference in halal. Question between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, mamash a difference in whether we'll apply Kimishpat to teach me something about the nature of the Malika, not just the place of the Malika, the way Rabbi Yishmael was learning. Fine. Lovely. Exciting. 8:15, that's Ratasha.